Does science conflict with religious faith? Does nature offer scientific evidence of design? Should public school students learn about all sides of contentious scientific issues? Or should teachers spoon-feed them with only the politically approved views? Should scientists be free to pursue the truth wherever the search takes them? What if it leads to conclusions that are disturbing to a rigidly secular point of view? This week, the Michael Medved Show started shining a bright light on these and other fascinating questions that are vital to the future of our nation and our culture. Besides being a popular radio talk show host on over 200 stations with millions of listeners, Michael Medved also happens to be a senior fellow of Discovery Institute. And this week begins a new feature of the Michael Medved Show called the Weekly Science and Culture Update. Just like on this podcast, ID the Future, on the Medved Show's Weekly Science and Culture Update, you'll learn a lot of things you didn't know before. You're going to come away as a much better informed participant in the national conversation about science. You're also going to have a lot of fun. If you miss the program, you can catch a rerun of it right here each week at idthefuture.com. This week, Michael welcomed Dr. Stephen Meyer as the first guest on the Weekly Science and Culture Update. Before we get to that, though, let me tell you about a special offer we have on Dr. Meyer's new book. The book is called Darwin's Doubt, The Explosive Origin of Animal Life and the Case for Intelligent Design. Darwin's Doubt won't be out until June, but right now, you can pre-order the book at darwinsdoubt.com for a whopping 43% off the list price, plus free shipping. In addition, just for pre-ordering, you will also get four complete digital books, including one on science and human origins. This is a limited time offer at darwinsdoubt.com. That's darwinsdoubt.com. Let's get back to this Michael Medved Show's Weekly Science and Culture Update with Dr. Meyer.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is the Michael Medved Show.
It is 21 minutes after the hour on the Medved Show, where one of the great things about science is that it's not partisan. Science doesn't take sides in political disputes. But maybe every once in a while you want to have political disputes that do take sides around science. That's one of the reasons that we're doing a new feature on the Medved Show, which we launched today, as promised. It is called the Science and Culture Update, and I'm going to be working on this with my colleagues at the Discovery Institute here in Seattle. And for people who don't know, the Discovery Institute is a great, great resource for people finding out the truth about climate change, about the origins of life, about all kinds of other issues that are viewed by the left, at least, as deeply political. And one of the senior fellows at the Discovery Institute, who in fact is the director of their Center on Science and Culture, is my friend, Dr. Stephen Meyer. And Steve, it's always great to talk to you.
It's wonderful to be with you again, Michael.
Well, thank you. And I should say that I've known Steve for years and years and years. He is extraordinarily well qualified to address these issues. He has his PhD from Cambridge University over in Great Britain, and a PhD in the philosophy of science. He also was a working geophysicist before that. He's taught around the country, and his book, Signature in the Cell, not only was a bestseller, but it was one of the most acclaimed and readable science books of recent years. He has another book coming out soon, which we'll talk about. But Steve, you actually wanted to talk about the work of another philosopher, another expert on the intersection of culture and science, who's in a lot of hot water, which is kind of surprising because he has been most of his career, Thomas Nagel. Hasn't he been a darling of the secular left?
Well, I have a colleague who respects him greatly, who says he's one of the eminences of the American Academy. He's a leading philosopher of science, a longtime professor in good standing at New York University. He has honorary degrees from Oxford, honors and prizes and research fellowships, and he is by his own description, a self-confessing atheist. But he's run into hot water recently with the keepers of the atheist creed in the academy, and it's a really instructive and interesting controversy that's developed around some of his recent writing.
Well, talk about his book, which has led him to be branded a heretic, an apostate. I think if atheists had the power to burn him at the stake, they probably would. What's the problem with Professor Nagel's book?
Well, his book is called Mind and Cosmos, and its subtitle is Why the Materialist Neo-Darwinian Conception of Nature is Almost Certainly False. And the subtitle has really gotten him into a lot of hot water. There is a philosopher who was writing in the New Statesman in Britain who said that if there were a philosophical Vatican, the book would be a good candidate for going on the index of banned books. And other scientists and philosophers have said that he's losing his critical faculties and he's guilty of shoddy reasoning, and on it goes.
What he's basically saying, I'm put in mind with, I have not read all of Professor Nagel's entire book, but I've read a great deal about it and I've read in it. And I'm put in mind of a famous quote that was associated with another British scientist and philosopher of the Elizabethan era, Sir Francis Bacon, who said, I cannot believe that this great starry universal frame is without mind.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he's arguing, that this there's a kind of ideology or a worldview that underlies the perceptions of a lot of scientists. A lot of scientists assume what's called a materialistic worldview, which says that ultimately everything can be explained by reference to matter, particles in motion, and that the universe itself, that matter is the thing from which everything else comes and to which everything can be reduced. And Nagel says, hey, that is really counter to what we know best. And what we know best is the capacity and the existence of our own conscious experience. We have minds. And he said any account of reality that writes mind or consciousness out of existence is missing something really important. And he goes further to say that the Darwinian evolutionary theory, the contemporary version of that theory called Neo-Darwinism, has done a very poor job of explaining the complex physical features of organisms, let alone the consciousness that we as human beings possess. So he says, if it can't explain how we got the eye of a trilobite or the molecular machines that are present in all living cells that we see today, how can this neo-Darwinian evolutionary process account for mind and consciousness and other things that are important, like moral values and things like that?
Well, see, this is so important for people to focus on for just a moment, because a lot of people, when they hear you talking about evolution or Darwinism or Darwin's Doubt, which is the title of your new book, they think that what we're talking about is arguments about how you go from a frog to a human being, or how you even go from a tiny little simplistic unicell organism to a frog. But that's not what this is about. This is about how do you go from a rock? How do you go from something that's dead, that is not alive in any sense? How do you go from that to even the most elemental forms of life, right?
Well, exactly. That's what my first book was about the origin of the very first life. And Nagel, probably unfortunately for him, read the book and made the mistake of recommending it and endorsing it.
As I do, by the way.
Part of its work. And so he's very skeptical about the idea that we can get from life to non-life. But he's even more skeptical that we can get from matter alone to consciousness, that somehow our conscious experience can be explained as a result of mutations in genes or the electrical impulses in our synapse or something. You know, there's a big difference between the electrochemistry of the brain and my experience of red or my ability to work a mathematical problem or something. And he said that the problem with the Darwinian theory is not only that it can't explain what it's supposed to explain, the origin of new forms of life, the origin of life in the first place from non-life, but also that it is being offered as a comprehensive explanation for all of reality, for morality, for cognition, for consciousness, for the very existence of our minds. And he says, if it can't account for the things it's supposed to account for, it certainly doesn't account for these higher attributes of in particular, human beings with
okay.
the ability to know the world.
We're speaking with Dr. Stephen Meyer of Discovery Institute. Why does all this matter, and why does it have an impact on some of the most explosive issues of our time? We'll be right back with this Science and Culture Update with Dr. Stephen Meyer.
Michael Medved.
Minutes past the hour on the Michael Medved Show, where it's easy to save 15% or even more on car insurance with Geico. You just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. And we are back with Dr. Stephen Meyer as part of our regular new Science and Culture Update with the great scholars affiliated with the Discovery Institute. You can find out more about that by going directly to our website, to michaelmedved.com. And Dr. Meyer, we were speaking before about this incredibly vicious assault against Dr. Thomas Nagel, very acclaimed scholar, atheist scholar at NYU, New York University. What is it about his work and his latest statements about human consciousness and materialism that has gotten so much of the academic left so incredibly angry at him?
Well, there's a couple things. The first thing is that his very existence challenges the narrative that a lot of the secular liberal professors have about, in particular, Darwinian evolution. The idea that they promulgate is that if anyone who questions Darwinian thought is motivated by religion, and in particular, the only people that do that are fundamentalist Christians who have a very literalist view of the Bible. Obviously, Dr. Nagel is not a fundamentalist Christian, and he isn't. He's an atheist, and he's a philosopher of great renown, and so he really doesn't fit their stereotype. And much the same thing has happened when scientists. There's an awful lot of scientists who are questioning Darwinian evolution on scientific grounds, and the same thing happens to them. There's a similar history of this kind of suppression and hostility. A couple of years ago, there was an evolutionary biologist at the Smithsonian who published, allowed to be published, an article challenging Darwinian evolution, and he had just a horrific experience afterwards. His office and access to scientific samples were taken away. There was a disinformation campaign waged against him. He was eventually demoted and finally left the museum. And so there's been a lot of this, and what the secular left on this can't abide is the idea that there is an intelligent, thoughtful dissent from this. Their view is that all reasonable people agree, and there is no basis for questioning Darwinian evolution. And as Nagel has shown, the larger materialist worldview that flows from it is also something that is carefully protected by this kind of academic orthodoxy.
All right. When you talk about this academic orthodoxy, what are we talking about exactly? Is obviously everybody agrees, and I know that you agree because I've read your books and material, that human life was the climax of the result of a long process. And you certainly don't question natural selection. We see that operating. Where is there the core of the debate here regarding materialism?
Well, there's two aspects of it. Everybody accepts that natural selection is a real process. The question is, what can it do? how creative is it? And so there are an increasing number of biologists who question that natural selection can create all the major forms of life that we see today. It can make minor changes, but not major changes. One biologist puts it this way. He says that it explains the survival, but not the arrival, the original origin of the fittest. Nagel has expressed skepticism about both the origin of the first life, that the evolutionary process can explain that, but also whether the Darwinian process can produce new forms of life from simpler pre-existing forms. So that's a big part of the debate. But the other part is the philosophical part, the philosophical implications of Darwinian theory. And many scientists, philosophers, academics have used Darwinism as the basis of a kind of comprehensive worldview. It's sometimes called scientific materialism or Darwinian materialism. And Nagel is especially taking that on by saying, look, Darwinism hasn't explained consciousness. It doesn't explain away our freedom to choose, our free will. It doesn't explain away moral values. And yet many academics are using it to do exactly that.
Why, very briefly, because we only have about a minute left, why does this matter politically?
Well, if you accept a materialistic worldview, which for many is grounded in this Darwinian thought, it has implications for, in brief, both God and man. The new atheists want to say that science properly refutes any belief in theism, any belief in the possibility of the existence of God. And other materialist philosophers and thinkers and scientists want to say that Darwinism and other materialistic scientific theories suggest that humans aren't free to choose, that we aren't capable of making moral judgments, that there are no objective moral values.
And that, of course, has implications for the way you organize society and run governments. To find out more, to get more in focus on the issues of science and culture, go to the banner at our website on science and culture to find out all about the work of the Discovery Institute.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.